Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Gary Harps is here, too. Gary's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, more than 7 years. He's become a good friend of ours. He's the author of Six Disciplines for Excellence, and also Six Disciplines, Execution Revolution. He's the guy that we turn to when we want to become better CEOs. Gary Harps, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning. Good to talk to you, Jim.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being back on the show. Gary, one of the things that I keep harping on, bless their hearts, with my small business folks, is the importance of getting at least as often as you can in the role, assuming the role of the CEO of your small business, because there are jobs that have to be done that can only be done by the CEO, and that's the founder, that's the owner, that's the person at the top of the org chart. And one of the problems we have is in doing that is there are a lot of things we have to deal with at that level, and sometimes we have a hard time knowing where to start. You got any ideas?
We sure do. We see this all the time. In fact, I read a report recently this is a report that was been done many times over the last 10 or 15 years, and that about one-third of all the manpower and effort in a company, small or large, does not contribute to its strategy. And yeah. So, you know, in today's world, with all the electronics, we are overwhelmed with stimulus, you know, email, text, phone calls, et cetera.
Yep.
Hey Gary,
forget the shiny objects.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the shiny object. And we're not doing a very good job of sorting through that. And, you know, as a CEO, you've got that problem personally, but you've got 5 or 6 or 10 of people working for you. You've got that problem with them, too. They all do. And, you know, the CEO, we use the phrase internally, well, how do we do what's important? You know, that's an everyday call for each of us, whether it's in our personal life or our professional life. How do you do what's important? And, you know, the CEO has a unique role in the sense of you can't do what's important unless you know what's important. So, The one technique we're starting to use in our strategic planning and operational planning is to insist that people limit themselves to say, tell me the top 3 things you want to get done in the next 12 months. 3 only.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of that is it causes them to realize they don't really know. If they can tell you the top 10 things they want to do, but they can't tell you the top 3. And it really forces focus. Now, that's step one, and the CEO has to be heavily engaged in deciding that. But what happens next? How do you get Johnny or Susie or whoever else to, when the phone's ringing, doing all these other things on a day-to-day basis, win the battle of doing what's important? And we also use the phrase, you've heard the term tyranny of the urgent.
Right.
You know, well, we don't think it's possible to take away the urgent. It's that stuff comes at you whether you want it or not. But what is possible is to make what's important more urgent.
Well, there's another thing that I think happens. Sometimes urgency is another word for chaos. It's another word for crisis. And one of the things that I try to get across to people is the more you do what you're talking about, the more you identify the 3 things, you know, even if there's 6 that they're all the same, pick 3 get started on those, solve those, get those put to bed, so to speak. And it's amazing how the chaos and the crises and the other challenges, the urgencies, will start diminishing. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with that. We can't handle 10 things, so focus on one or two, and always, if you pick the right one or two, the others get better. So I agree with you. And one technique, then, if you kind of try to systematize this a little bit, you get together once a year and say, what are the top three things we want to do in the next year? And then you turn around and have, as a group, as a company, and then you turn around and have each person say, okay, what are the top three things I need to get done? Given that the company needs to get these things done, what are the top three things I need to get done? And then you get together and talk about those. And then you start to say, well, here's how what I'm doing relates to these other three. But that's still not enough, because it doesn't help you fight. The phone starts ringing, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Now that's the management stuff.
Yeah.
See, what I think you've got to, one of the things you've got to do, it seems to me, Gary, is you've got to be able to elevate yourself to an orbit for a day, for a half a day, for a day a month, a day a week, whatever you can do, even if it's a Saturday or a Sunday. You got to elevate yourself to the CEO level so that you don't have the phones ringing in your ear. You don't have people coming in your door throwing stuff on your desk. You've got to be able to get to that point, or you'll never isolate those three things, let alone work on them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. We call that, you're the CEO of yourself. We refer to it as self-leadership.
Right.
And so the next step is, okay, identify the three things you want to do for the year, then turn around and say, okay, given that, what are the three things I want to do in the next 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
And then, to your point about recalibrating, we actually suggest that once a week you take 30 minutes to yourself and say, okay, what are the next three things I need to do this week? And that's how you take what's important and get it in front of your mind and your heart, so that when the phone rings and all these other things that try to overwhelm you during the week, you have a mooring or an anchor that says, boy, what about these three things? And you can't ever let up on this. It's like a fitness program. You have to
Gary, I need your website.
SixDiscipline.com, spelled out.
When we come back, I'm going to have Gary tell us how to choose those three, and also talk about how do we get help choosing those three. Who do we turn to if we can't seem to pull the trigger on those? Who could help us with that? And we'll get Gary to help us after these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sales support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Procol Harum bringing us back, lighter shade of gray, lighter shade of pale, that's right, lighter shade of pale. 23 after the hour, thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, and that's ageofthecustomer.com. Gary Harps is our guest, our good friend, longtime Brain Trust member, author of Six Disciplines for Excellence and Six Disciplines for Excellence Execution Revolution. Six Disciplines, SIXDisciplines.com, right, Gary?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for hanging out with us. Gary's helping us understand how to choose. He recommended in the previous segment that we choose the top three things of all the things we need to do this year. What are the top three things to start focusing on that? But, Gary, what I'd like for you to do now is help us understand how to do that. You said that you probably got 10. You got to choose three. How do you do that? What's the triage? What's the logic? What's the methodology we use? How do we rule something out and something in?
Well, these steps that I'm describing are outlined in my first book, Six Disciplines for Excellence. But you go through. You get the right people in the room. You know, the people in the business know the business better than anyone else, and you ask the question, what do we want to be better at than anybody else? You just make sure that's clear, and that's not as easy to answer as it sounds like. But get that decided. What do we want to be better at than anyone else? And then start to say, to do that, what do we have to be good at? That's mm-hmm. the second question. If we're going to be a leader in service, or we're going to be a leader in innovation, or we're going to be a leader in a particular geography, then say, what do we have to be good at? And list three things. These are the top three things we have to be outstanding at. You know, to be a rock star leader, what most people hate working in an environment is confusion. They right. hate the not knowing. They want to win, but if they don't know what the game is, they get very frustrated. And if you want to be a rock star leader, just follow this discipline of answering those questions. Stick with every year saying the top three. Then once a quarter, say what are the top three. And then insist once a week, what are the top three, and you just keep pounding away at this, and people will gradually understand you're serious about focusing on what's important,
right.
and they'll start to figure out what their job is.
Well, and they're seeing that you are consistent. That when you told them 6 months ago that these were the three, 6 months later you're still asking them about that, they'll see that you really meant that.
Yeah, you're that's consistent. Right, and it will transform your organization. You just build these habits in. By doing it every week or every quarter as well, you have the flexibility to adjust, but you do it together. You don't just all of a sudden call somebody in the middle of the night and say, hey, we changed direction.
And that comes to the part about who do we ask for help? How do we engage our people to help us with this?
Well, there are all kinds of coaches. We do that kind of work, other people. But it's very useful to have a facilitator, at least on a yearly basis. We suggest quarterly, that comes in and asks these questions so the CEO can be a participant, not the leader of it.
But prior to that, if you're a little bit not quite ready for the hired hand, you got to have your people involved in this, right?
Oh, you always have. Yeah, absolutely. They're the experts on the business. The hired hand is not consulting on how to tell you to do business. The hired hand is there to lead you through the process.
Right. So one of the things I want to ask though is, for a small business that's you know, maybe not quite as sophisticated as a lot of the companies you work with, Gary, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be to say, okay, I'm going to identify the one area in my go to market activity that I've got to focus on. I'm going to focus on one area of my organizational, including HR that I need to work on, and another one would be on another thing, whatever else the company does. But find three distinct areas of the business, and then focus on one thing on that. Would that be a good way to start if you're a little smaller business?
Well, yes, and I flew over this question. The key question is, what do you have to be good at?
Yeah.
You just keep asking that question, because if you say, I have to grow sales, that's my number one thing, by 10% this year, just turn right around and say, okay, to do that, what do I have to be good at? I have to be good at internet advertising. And then you set a goal for that. And you just keep asking that one question. Well, what do I have to be good at to do that?
And stay on that one thing. And what about when you feel like you solved that problem? Let's say you say that in January, and by June you feel like you've kind of fixed that. Do you move over to another one, or what do? Or do you make sure that doesn't turn into rust, and that the organization sticks with it?
Well, that's why you revisit these top three every quarter, in case, okay, I blew away in the number. Well, let's raise the number, or move on to what was the fourth item.
Number four, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking, Gary. Disciplines, sixdisciplines.com, right?
Yes, sir.
And find all your books there.
They're there. A lot of hits and tips in the first book.
Exactly. Folks, check that out, sixdisciplines.com. Hey, Gary, good job today. Come back soon.
Will do. Always a pleasure.
See you next time. Gary Harpst, ladies and gentlemen. And that last name is spelled H-A-R-P-S-T. I'm Jim Blasingame. We're going to take a quick break. 29 after, I promise. I'll be right back.
I want a dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure. Continue to be with you. You're going to be very excited because Walter Kieschel is back in the building, so to speak. Walter is the former editorial director of Harvard Business Review. He's the former managing editor at Fortune Magazine. How about those creds, huh? He's also the author of one of my favorite books, The Lords of Strategy, The Secret Intellectual History of the New Corporate World, one of my favorite books in my library. And he's been a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time. He's our good friend, Walter Kieschel. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. It's good to be with you again.
Good to have you back. So one of the things that I know you like to see is when managers simplify the way they do their business. And you like it when they get organized with their simplicity, don't you?
I do indeed. I feel like I'm kind of here following in the footsteps of Gary, who talked about his book on the six disciplines. But I know that, like you, I kind of keep up with the management literature, and I've noticed in the last year or two that there are new books that have titles like, there's a book called The Three Rules from a couple of consultants, Michael Rayner and Mumtaz Ahmed at Deloitte, that say that there are three basic rules that you need to follow, and you don't need to worry about that many others if you keep track of these. And then there's a new book this year called Six Simple Rules by two consultants at the Boston Consulting Group, Steve Moore and Peter Tolman, saying, well, here are six simple rules. If you follow these,
so, you're organizing. So Walter, is that now? So are there three rules, or six rules, or nine rules? What do we got?
Well,
here?
It depends. I mean, the interesting question, and I'd love to know what the Jim Blassingame view on this is, and how many rules you think are essential, and which ones are the top three of your list. But I think it's always a good idea for most businesses to have sort of three or four principles, if you will, or overarching ideas that they keep to guide them through their day-to-day operations. I mean, it's interesting, the Three Rules book, their rules are really quite simple. It's better before cheaper. That is, winners rarely compete on price.
Mm-hmm.
They work on producing a
that takes you to a price war, and for small businesses, the price war is over, and we lost.
Yeah, exactly. Another one of the rules is revenue before cost, that you... The winners typically draw their profits through price and volume, not by thrift.
Right. That's where I say that's how you can tell who's running the company. Are the merchants running the company, or are the operators running the company?
Right. Right.
And right now, and as a little aside, right now, corporate America is being run by operators, not merchants.
I guess that's right, with all the focus on cost cutting and thriftiness.
That's right.
And,
yeah, there are no merchants. There are no merchants running corporate America anymore. It's all operators, all fish-eyed bean counters.
Well, that is, of course, partly a result of the strategy revolution that I wrote about in my book, where everybody suddenly got religion about keeping track of their costs. And and then, you know, if you give the shareholders the primary of value of increasing the share and make that your totem that you worship,
right.
Then the bean counters are more likely to be able to address that.
That's right.
In the short term, but not necessarily in the long term. I agree with you that
mm-hmm.
the merchant too can figure out how to develop.
But your point is not so much that the guys who wrote the three rules book or the six rule book that they own the franchise on rules. Your point is we need to establish what our rules are, don't we?
Exactly so. That every company or business of any size should have some guiding rules that are sort of the guardrails in which they do their operations, and that people agree on and understand. It's interesting, in the Six Rules book, one of the first rule that they have is that you should understand what your people actually do, and mm-hmm. how oftentimes management, particularly in large corporations, really don't understand what the kind of people on the bleeding edge of the business, dealing with customers or dealing with suppliers, are really mm-hmm. having to cope with and wrestle with. And so only when you...
Another thing a lot close to that is having rules for people who can't, who don't have the ability to perform those rules.
Exactly so. Another one of their rules, of these six rules, is that you reward those who cooperate with one another. A lot of their book is about how do you balance autonomy in your people. You want to give them lots, but with cooperation.
Right. Let's talk some more about these rules. Let's talk about how you can develop your rules after these messages with our good friend Walter Kieschel. I told you he would stimulate our brains when he joined us. Walter Kieschel and I will be right back. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity business performance advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Only you can to make all this world seem right.
As a platter, just bringing this back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Our websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my new book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Hope you check that out when you get a chance. I think you'll like what you see there. You might be frightened. You might find something that scares you a little bit, and if it does, maybe you need to do something about that. One of the things you can do is, Walter?
Oh, I was just thinking of. I remember interviewing a guy who was a terrific career counselor. He had been a placement officer at one of the foremost.
It's Walter Keisha. Walter Keisha, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead, Walter.
When he retired from that, he got into the business of counseling MBAs who'd been out for 4 or 5 years, and he used to say to me, when they come to me and they say they're bored, I think that's terrible. What I like it is when they come to me and they say they're scared, because
right.
That means they're learning something.
That's exactly, and they're going to be motivated. That's exactly right. So so Walter Keisha, folks, is with us. He's one of our great Brain Trust members, the author of The Lords of Strategy, one of my favorite books. We're talking about rules. Do you have rules? Do you have non-negotiable rules? Those are the ones that I think of the most, Walter, are the non-negotiable rules. Whenever an employee comes to work for me, I tell them, we don't abuse customers. If small business owners come to our website, we don't do anything that they would consider to be abuse, meaning we don't make them click 6 times to read one article. That is for an example. The people that we deal with on our show, like Walter Kieschel, we make sure that we treat them with the utmost respect and care, and as if they were a paying customer. And I tell them, I said, and that's non-negotiable.
Well, I think that kind of rule is, makes perfect sense, and probably would be valuable for most businesses. I mean,
Walter, you might think that, well, duh, everybody does that. Well, you know what, Walter, everybody doesn't do that. And here's an example. Here's an example. In any given time that you and I visit with each other, how many times do you think I say thank you to you?
I guess it's a lot.
But how many times do you go into the marketplace and buy stuff and nobody says thank you? They don't even look you in the eye.
No, it's really true.
So why wouldn't a rule? I mean, let's keep it simple, Walter. Why wouldn't a rule for every small business be, if you wait on a customer, you look them in the eye. That's non-negotiable. If a customer gives you their money, and comes in our building or calls us on the phone or whatever, we thank them. Find a way to thank them three times minimum before they go. How about that for a non-negotiable rule?
That's a good rule, but especially if it's reinforced according by the manager's behavior. By one of the great bits of managerial wisdom that I learned or heard early on, and can be summarized in one sentence, is that employees treat customers exactly the same way that their managers treat them. So if a manager is making eye contact with an employee, being straight with them, thanking them for their good efforts, you're much more likely to have the employee acting the same way.
But it does. You still have to do the training, and it has to be.
Sure.
As you said earlier, it has to be something that consistently comes from the leaders, from the top.
Yes. Right. But then I think part of that is, and we were talking about the question of how do you develop rules for your own operation.
Right.
This first principle in the Six Simple Rules book about understand what your people are up to and what they're doing, a lot of that is really understanding how they're dealing with customers and what they're hearing from customers and how they're getting along with them. The book has a wonderful example of this hotel chain that was in trouble. They determined that a lot of the problem was with their receptionist because they were not dealing with customers very politely, and they finally talked to the receptionist and found out that they were just getting hell from the customers all the time because they'd come in, they'd check in, there'd be things that were broken down in their rooms, the maintenance staff hadn't fixed them, the cleaning staff wouldn't tell the maintenance staff that there were problems with them. So the fix was to understand what the receptionists were up to, but then give the receptionist some authority over the maintenance staff and the cleaning people.
But also the receptionist, she became the receptacle for all the problems, and no one person should have to deal with that.
Exactly right. You got to look for where the pain points are and who's suffering the most, and why they are doing that, and then what can you do to change that. And oftentimes it's fostering more cooperation with other people or giving the people with the pain points more authority or more of a say.
Right. Right. What are some other ways we can identify our rules, non-negotiable rules?
I mean, coming out of the strategy revolution, I think any set of rules should be grounded in three principles. Number one, you got to understand your costs, know what they are, particularly relative to your competitors. Number two, understand your competition, who are you competing with? And then probably third and most important, and this will be music to your ears, of course, understand your customers.
Well, I think that's first. That's first, Walter.
Sure.
I tell people in the age of the customer, what you're going to do tomorrow, a week from now, and a year from now will be 100% driven by customer expectations, and you probably don't know what those are.
That's an appropriately scary and inspiring thought, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you tell them then about how they deal with that?
Ask them.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's amazing. See, this is the beauty of business, Gary. Walter, is the beauty of business is it's not that complicated. The customer has all the information you need. Why don't we ask them more about what they want? Why don't we find out more about what they want? If we could cut business failures in half, if we would learn this one simple rule, ask the customers what their expectations are. Walter, I need your website.
It's just www.thelordsofstrategy.com.
Thelordsofstrategy.com. Check it out. Quick break. More to come after these messages with our good friend Walter Kieschel.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-4255. 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame, and I wrote this book for you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure. We're having a great visit. I'm Jim Blassingame, by the way, in case you just tuned in and just got off the bus and you didn't know where you were. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Walter Keisha. Walter is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of The Lords of Strategy, former director of the Harvard Business Review. Walter, thanks again for hanging out with us. Walter is one of our top strategy guys. Walter, what about rules that we can use to empower our employees? Because this is one of the things that every small business owner needs to do a better job of. And I'm looking at myself in the mirror when I say this. We got to learn how to delegate better. But delegation is not just saying, here, you do this. There needs to be a little more structure around it, doesn't there?
There does indeed. And one of the things that you take away from, say, this book on six simple rules, one of the rules actually is increase the total quantity of power in your organization. That means empowering, yes, your employees. We were talking about the importance of being in touch with your customers. Well, of course, it's your employees who probably are best in touch with your customers. They're dealing with them day to day. But you've got to give them the autonomy to listen to what the customers are saying, to think about what solutions we might provide, but also to bring that information back to management. I mean, just listening to your people and hearing what they have to say and being open to bad news are important things. But then, yeah, you've got to put some structures around that, and maybe structures is too hard a word. But
when I think of structure, I'm just thinking of responsibility and authority.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you need to give people authority commensurate with what you expect them to be able to do. But authority in modern organizations, of course, all isn't just, you know, confined to the role. It's also, you get authority in part because of the way that you deal with people that you don't have formal responsibility for, your ability to cooperate with them, your ability to integrate your operation with other people. And one of the principles from the Six Simple Rules books is you've got to reward what they call the integrators. Those are not necessarily the people with the word formal coordinating position, but the ones who really can help people and do sort of help put things together and reinforce the way that that people trust one another and then work across the different parts of the organization. But that entails giving them some autonomy and trusting them, but also then if they've got people who are not willing to cooperate with one another, they got to be told to get on the bus or get off the bus.
Right.
And you want to reward the ones who do exemplify that kind of autonomous.
Is that also a good way to start developing future managers, future stakeholders?
Absolutely.
Isn't that a good way to begin the process of seeing who can become leaders and who are going to always be followers?
Absolutely. But you also need to then make sure that the manager knows he's got responsibility for developing those leaders. They set the example of, you know, a manager typically will have a real dilemma because he's got to get productivity out of his unit, but he may also be charged with developing his junior managers. But the junior managers, he knows that for higher productivity, you want to put somebody in the junior manager who's got the most experience in that area who will do it best. But to develop the junior manager, you've got to move him to an area where he doesn't necessarily have a responsibility or haven't had prior experience. So working that balance, smart companies do things like saying to managers, well, you've got to take this managerial development seriously. In fact, we're not going to let you be promoted unless you've developed two people who can replace you.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives the manager back the autonomy.
Real delegation, isn't it?
That's real delegation, but that'll really push him to wrestle with this dilemma. Well, I want the high productivity, but I also need to develop my people. So,
well, and it will also encourage someone who might see another person as a threat to them. It might see them then turn them around and see them as a lever to their own promotion.
Exactly so. I mean, how many times have you seen this bad situation of a manager sitting on a talented person because he's afraid that he's going to supplant them?
That's exactly right. It'll help them see them in a whole different light. Walter, good job today. Well done.
Lots of fun always talking to you, Jim, and I hope it's productive and helpful to your listeners.
It was. We appreciate it very much. Thanks for being here. Come back soon.
I will do, Jim. Go. Always a pleasure.
TheLordsOfStrategy.com, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So Walter Keischer, thanks for being here. Come back soon. Got to go for this hour. Hey, folks, didn't I tell you we'd get smarter when Walter joined us? I got to go for this hour. I'll be back after the news. I'm Jim Blessingham, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, the man who creates more multimedia small business information than any other human on the planet.
With classified information like this, I demand the cone of silence.
The intergalactic man of mystery, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Still broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, and wrapping up our stay here in Atlanta on the way back to our regular environs where we usually broadcast from when we're not on the road. And so thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for allowing me to take my show on the road. Always do that as much as humanly possible. Even when I'm on the road, I still like to spend time with you and bring our Brain Trust members on the show and let them talk to you, and so you and I can both listen and learn from them. And we got a couple of really great guys coming at you this hour. We got Jim Ballard and Brad Huskin, both of them longtime members of our Brain Trust. Jim's goes back to 99. In fact, this is his 15th anniversary this week. This visit is his 15th anniversary as a member of our show. How about that? Member of our Brain Trust, Jim Ballard, the guy we turn to gain and maintain balance in our lives. So that's coming up from Jim Ballard coming up right after the next break. And then we got our good buddy Brad Huskin. Brad is an original founding member of our Brain Trust. I guess, wait a minute. This is also his 16th anniversary as a member of our. How about that? Two anniversaries, a 15th and a 16th coming up this all today, this hour. I'm not sure we've ever had that before. As many anniversaries as we've celebrated here. We celebrate milestones here on the Small Business Advocate Show, folks. And I hope you do, too. I hope you celebrate milestones in your business. But Brad has forgotten more about how to get a customer to do business with you than most of us will ever know. He's going to join us and help us with that in the second half of the hour. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Here's ZZ Top. Take us out.
I've been in love 10,000 times. All you got to do is remember my life.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jim Ballard is here, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I know you're excited about that. Jim Ballard is back on the show. In fact, it's his 15th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust, and he is so excited about that. And Jim is the author of I don't know how many books, dozens of books, including What's the Rush, including the Well Done series of books that he's co-authored with others, including the book that his beautiful wife Barbara wrote that we've talked about on the show, No Ordinary Move, and one of my favorites, Little Wave and Old Swell. Jim Ballard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. We've got to come up with something special today, I think.
I know.
Sounds like.
15 years, Jim.
We're gonna.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. And I want to congratulate you on the success of your book. And as you've just been telling me, you've been traveling around a lot and signing a lot of books. And that's the way to do it.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, it's all about small business, Jim. It's all about helping small business owners have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and that's my singular professional goal in life is to do more of that. And I appreciate you being here for 15 years, helping me do that, just that, and blessing the lives of small businesses as you have helped us do. One of the things that I know you want to talk about is what is the real business of business. Tell us about that.
Well, it's so easy, I think, Jim, for you think of all the people who are, you know, stuck in traffic every morning on their commute, and their minds are just on, you've been there, you know, keeping your
yesterday.
Car from
I was
bumping
here yesterday.
Into the car in front of you when you're just moving inches at a time. It's hard to imagine that a year from now you'll be looking back on today and saying, wow, how could I have known how great that day was going to turn out?
Right, right.
And in fact, it might be easier to think, is this how it all turns out? Is this what I was going to be when I grew up? And I remember what Carl Jung, a phrase that he said. He says, I am not what happens to me. I am what I choose to become. So I want to say, how do we do that? How do we do that on these, when we're fighting the dailiness, what somebody called the dailiness of life? Mm-hmm. And it's really all in the eye of the beholder. You know, perception is the only game in town. And it isn't that something different needs to happen. It's that we need to remember what business is really about. It's not about business.
Well, you know, one thing, thinking about your traffic example, you know, there was a time when, I mean, I've never been a patient person in traffic. nobody will be surprised to hear that. But there was a time when it didn't matter whether I had to be somewhere or not. I didn't like getting stuck in traffic. But as I've gotten older, if I get stuck in traffic, now I say, oh, okay, do I have to be anywhere? And if I don't have to be anywhere, I just kind of relax and turn the radio up.
Good. Well, I've often said, too, I'm writing a book called Rushaholics Anonymous,
Right.
And I think that when you get stuck in traffic, it's there might be a slowdown angel behind it, you know, just to get your heart slowed down.
Right. And slowdown angel. I like that. Write that down, folks. That's going to be on the test.
when you get stuck, you can say thank you. Anyway, what do I mean when I say business isn't about business? Well, one thing it's about is service. Now, every business is already about service. That is, it exists to provide some service or product that makes people's lives better or mm-hmm. easier. But how does service operate within the workplace, within people, between people? You know, our relationships are really with the people you rub elbows with every day. And there are two ways to approach work with people. One is with the attitude, what do I get? And the other says, what do I give? Now, mm-hmm. You mentioned my wife, Barbara. She has a wonderful business. She's been at it soon be 18 years, I think, and she's relocating seniors, helping older people and their families move.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara has great joy in her business even after all this time, and even though she's still at that, and it's hard work, because of her values, because of the way she treats people, and people talk about it. She has a doctorate in psychology. She's not just about moving stuff or people. She's about, you know, opening the door for people to a whole new part of their life.
Helping human beings.
That's it.
She's helping human beings.
So what do we say to ourselves when we go into work, since our jobs are really about relationships? You know, when sometimes you hear, you're watching a basketball game and the commentator says, you know, this guy is known for his unselfishness. You know, he's always feeding the ball rather than shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And people who do that at their work stick out, whether they manage other people or whether they're on the team. They make the people look good. So am I basically a giver or a getter? Do I talk at people or do I listen? Do I try always mm-hmm. to get my way or do I... Mm-hmm. Let others share the limelight? Am I about bringing out the best? So what we call job satisfaction is about the way relationships are handled, and that's the service part of it. Another thing mm-hmm. is about happiness, Jim. There's no one listening who isn't trying to be happy, because that's what we're all striving for in life. And right. how do we bring get happiness on the job? Maybe we're not looking for it in the right place. Happiness doesn't come through money, that's an old one, but wealthy people have some of the highest rates of suicide.
That's right. You can't be happy with money and stuff if you can't be happy without money and stuff.
See, you got it. And maybe it's about attention, you know, we want love or accumulating stuff, like you said. And that's the place, if we're after that, that life, it feels like it hasn't turned out for us yet. And are we still waiting to be happy, or are we looking for happiness outside of our jobs?
That's the thing, Jim, I think some of us expect the world to make us happy, and we sit around waiting on that, and we get angry. Sometimes I think if the world doesn't deliver that happiness, and that's not how it works. We're going to talk to Jim Ballard some more after these messages. Stay with us 20 after.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.